Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be starting a new Sefer. We're starting the book of Micha. And I want to just say that when we get to this stage in Tanakh, into the Trei Asar, it really seems to me that most people have not really explored this territory at all. When we learn about Micha, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Nahum, these are the Sfarim which rarely get attention, so it really is an opportunity for us to get into them, to appreciate them, to learn them together. So let's start right now. Today our focus will be an introduction to the book of Micha. Let's try to get a sense of who is Micha, what is he talking about, who is his audience. So let's start at the very beginning. The Gemara in Pesachim on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph tells us there were four Nevi'im who had prophecy at the same time. And we've met the three previous ones. We've met Hoshea, we've met Amos, we've met Yeshayahu. The fourth is Micha. Micha is the junior one that Gemara tells us. He is the youngest of all of the other ones. And the reason why the Gemara knows this is because of the introduction of all these four Sefarim, Yeshayahu, Hoshea, Amos, and Micha. It talks about them prophesizing during the reign of the same kings. So as an example, the first Pasuk in Micha describes when he's talking to that at the times of Yimei Yotam, Achaz, and Yechizkiel, Malchei Yehuda. So we're talking at a time when this is the precursors to Chizkiyahu. It says, grandfather and father, Yotam was a very good king. We hear very little about him. And Achaz was a bad king. And Chizkiyahu was a transformative king afterwards. So we know that Hoshea, Amos, and Yeshayahu are talking at the same time. At this time in the north, the kings are Yerovam. And the end of his kingdom afterwards, his son is revolted against a number of times. There's a number of revolutions, one after the next in quick succession. And leading to from Pekach to Pekach, and finally leading to the reign of Hoshea ben Elah, the last king of the north. Let's go a little further. In terms of the order of this book in the Trei Asar, it's one of the 12 minor prophets, one of the 12 smaller books of Tanakh. Technically speaking, because he is one of the prophets with Hoshea, a colleague of Hoshea and Amos, he should really be a little earlier in the mix. But the reason why it's put here, according to the introduction or to the Da'at Mikra of this particular Sefer, is very simple. And that is that when Amos ends, he ends on the theme of Edom. He is castigating the nation of Edom. And therefore, Ovadia is placed right afterwards because the sole purpose or the sole target audience of Ovadia is Edom themselves. Once we get to that, now Yonah actually should really come before Micha in terms of theme, because Yonah is talking about the salvation of the Assyrian army, of the city of Nineveh, and Micha is talking about the destruction of Assyria. So he would follow in terms of ideas second. Where does he live? So in the first pasuk of this sefer, we're told his name is Micha HaMorashti. HaMorashti, Rashi explains, means he lived in a city called Morisha. There was a place called Morisha. And where is that today? So it is interesting that there is a city called Maresha, which today is called Tel Maresha. There's many archaeological digs and burial caves there. It is mentioned in the book of Yoshua. And all the way till the times of the Chashmonaim, it was an active city. It's lost its power around the time of the Hellenization and the wars of the Chashmonaim. In 1948, it was near the Arab village of Beit Jibrin, which was evacuated in the 1948, the Milchemet HaAtzma'ut, and is actually today as part of the World Heritage Site of the Beit Guvrin Maresha National Park. So you can, when you go visit and you do the excavations at Beit Guvrin, near that area is where he comes from. Why that's significant to us is because that is the area of Yehuda. That's in the area of Judea, is what we call it today. And that means to say that Micha was from the tribe of Yehuda. This is important in the sense that when it describes who he is prophesizing to, in the first pasuk, we're told that he is prophesizing in the days of Yotam, Ochaz, and Yechizkiel, Malchei Yehuda, Asher Chazo al Shomron v'Yerushalayim, and he talks to the Shomron, which is the northern kingdom, and Yerushalayim. Why does he not mention explicitly the kings of the north? So the Metzudas David points out that it's because he lived in the south. He wasn't like Hoshea and Amos, his colleagues, who lived in the north and spoke to the northern kingdom. He in fact lived in the south, but spoke to the south and the north, so he references only his kings, the kings of the south in Yehuda. However, and that explains why, because his village where he was born was Morisha, or Morisha, which is this tribe and place in Yehuda. Abarbanel offers an alternative option, which is that he was from Yehuda, and therefore he didn't mention the kings of the north because he grew up in the south, so he had no need to mention the kings of the north there. As opposed to, let's say, Hoshea, who grew up in the north. It was from the tribe of Reuven, so he mentioned his kings. A few other points over here to notice in introduction to the Sefer is that Micha is actually quoted in another Sefer. If you're following carefully in Yirmiyahu Perek Chof Vav, in the 26th chapter of Yirmiyahu, he actually quotes Micha, which is fantastic. It's wonderful to see when the prophets are quoting one another. In Perek Chof Vav Pasuk Yud Ches, Yirmiyahu describes Micha Hamorashti Hayon Nibah Bimei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Micha, who was a predecessor to Yirmiyahu, prophesies the times of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Vayomer Kol Ha'am Yehuda Leimor Komar Hashem Tzavakos Tzion Sodeh Techoresh, that Zion will be plowed up, Yerushalayim Iyim Tihiyeh V'harabais Levomois Yo'ar, that it's going to be that Jerusalem will become heaps of ruins and the Temple Mount a shrine of the woods. And in fact, this actual Pasuk, the actual prophecy which Yirmiyahu is quoting, is to be found in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis of Micha, and where he says, Lochen V'glalchem Tzion Sodeh Techoresh. And this is a very famous pasuk because this is the pasuk which was immortalized by the words of Rabbi Akiva in the very, very last sugya, the last section of Meseches Makos, Chof Dalet Amud Beis, where it talks about how he sees the destroyed Temple Mount and he starts laughing. Why does he start laughing? And he explains that when he realizes that the prophecy of destruction is fulfilled, the prophecy of redemption will also be fulfilled, what prophecy of destruction is he referring to? He's referring to this very pasuk that Yirmiyahu is quoting of Micha, of the prophecy that Tzion Sodeh Techoresh, that the Mount Zion will be plowed down. That's how badly it will be destroyed. This is a remarkable historical moment to appreciate. In terms of the structure of the Sefer, we know that the book is divided up most classically into three sections. We're going to look at Prokim Aleph to Gimel, 1 to 3, which are about the rebuke and punishment, primarily to the north, also to the south. Prokim Dalad to Midway Vav, 4 to halfway through 6 is Comfort, Nechama, and the last Perek and a half from halfway through Vav to Zion, that is the last Perek, the 7th Perek, is about Musar and self-reflection. There'll be a lot of greater meta ideas about personal growth, which we'll be seeing in that section. So we have a lot to look forward to, and God willing, starting tomorrow, we'll get a chance to meet Micha himself. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.